Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. All of us who read these stories, all of us who put our faith in Jesus, we are on a mission from God too. And Pastor Josh talked about that last week, about some of those earliest Christians. And as God was at work, as the Holy Spirit was building and growing the church, they needed to get a little organized. People needed to be set apart and given specific jobs, specific missions, so that they could carry out what the church was supposed to be, how God created the church. And from what we read in the book of Acts, and really from our own church experience, yours and mine, God created the church for two purposes. God created the church to be the place where people experience the love and grace of Jesus. And God created the church to be the people who bring the love and grace of Jesus to the world. You can't share what you don't have, and you can't teach what you don't know. So the first thing that the church, what the community of Christians needs to be about, is a place where people experience, where they feel the love and grace of God through Jesus Christ. The next thing the church needs to be about is to be about sending people out into the world who can bring that love and that grace of Jesus with them wherever they go. You know, that's the mission of the church. That's the mission that we're all on. That's the mission of this church. And we hope that you, all of you listening, will say yes to that mission, that you will be people who bring the love of God wherever you go. It's the mission of this church, and it is the mission that we hope the class of 2022, will say yes to also. Today, we are celebrating all of our graduating seniors, the class of 2022, whether that's graduating from eighth grade or from high school or from college or beyond. Today, as we recognize seniors, as we recognize these graduates, we recognize that we are launching them. We're launching them into new environments, new communities, which is to say new mission fields, new places where they are going to be on mission from God to bring that love and that grace that they've experienced here, hopefully with us, and here in their homes with them wherever they go. Now, before I go any further, I want to say to you, any graduates listening, that what you have done this year, what you have done these last 4 years, is incredible. Over half of your high school career, half of your high school experience has been marked by, and hopefully not overshadowed by, this global pandemic that we are living through. What you have done these last 4 years gives us hope. It's why we have hope in the next generation. The resilience that you have shown, the emotional and mental resilience, what you have had to tap into to be where you are today, is something you should be so proud of. It makes me so proud to know you. It makes us proud to be your church. Those last 4 years were not easy, but you stayed on top of your schoolwork, and you took on leadership positions, and you invested in friendships, and you tested for and toured and made decisions about colleges, all in this really difficult time. You should be so proud of who you are right now, and where you are right now, and how you got here. We're going to be talking about the mission that God has for us. And I really hope it doesn't sound like one more thing for you to do. Seniors, graduates, especially our high school graduates who are graduating today from Maine South, when I talk about God's mission, I don't want you to hear it as one more thing on your to-do list. You have been doing so much. I see it. I know it. When I talk about this mission that our church is on, I pray you hear it more like more that we can do for you, or more of who we can be for you, and not one more ounce of pressure weighing on you right now. Today we recognize and we celebrate all that you have already done. So a lot happens in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is growing the church and inspiring people to believe, and it can sound really kind of fast-paced and on the move, and because it kind of is, there's a lot of travel, and the church is growing. We hear stories throughout the book of Acts of God using ordinary people like you and me to tell God's story and grow the church. And there's one ordinary person that nobody would have expected to be used by God. Well, for anything, but certainly not to grow the church. And that was this man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus. He hated what Jesus and his followers were doing. He hated what they had to say about who God was and what God was doing through Jesus. We've been going back to this story. The church has been going back to this story of Saul and how he came to believe differently as an example of how God can change any heart or any mind. Saul, who would later become known as Paul, he'd go by his Greek name Paul, went from persecuting the church, trying to get them arrested and trapped and in trouble, he went from persecuting the church to being one of the reasons why the church and the gospel spread throughout all the ancient world. The Apostle Paul, as we know him, took God's story everywhere because it was personal for him. God, the story of how God shows up to Paul, we find it in the 9th chapter of Acts, and it's one that gives us a lot of hope for how God can change a person. And God did change Paul, and Paul took the good news of Jesus all over the world. Out of all of the places where Paul took the story of Jesus, out of every church community he created, out of every church leader he met, nobody stands out more in Paul's relationships than this young man named Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, we hear about Paul's relationship with Timothy. It tells us Paul came first to Derbe, then Lystra. He found a disciple there by the name of Timothy, son of a devout Jewish mother and Greek father. Friends in Lystra and like Iconia all said what a fine young man he was. Paul wanted to recruit him for their mission, but first took him aside and circumcised him so he wouldn't offend the Jews who lived in those parts. They all knew that his father was Greek. As they went from town to town, they presented the simple guidelines the Jerusalem apostles and leaders had come up with. That turned out to be the most helpful. Day by day, congregations became strong in faith and larger in size. Paul and Timothy, teacher and student, pastor and junior pastor, co-workers, colleagues, family. These are all ways we have throughout Paul's correspondence, his letters that we have in the New Testament, that Paul describes his relationship with Timothy. Timothy is mentioned often as being with Paul wherever he is spreading the gospel, where he's establishing and encouraging churches. But then there's also times where Timothy is set off on his own for a specific strategic mission. And there are epistles, letters in the New Testament that we have that both Paul and Timothy are said to have been written together. So they are both teacher and student, but they're also both coworker and colleague. It's this early image that we have of investing in the next generation. Oftentimes, this Paul and Timothy relationship has been thought of as kind of a mentoring relationship. It's this example of passing on the faith, but not just passing on the faith, passing on the faith leadership to the next generation. In Timothy, we see someone who was both brought along to learn, and left behind to lead. Timothy was both brought along to learn and left behind to lead. Timothy was invited to join in God's mission and then made that mission personal to him. One of these key Bible verses that sometimes gets overquoted to our teenagers is believed to be written either from Paul to Timothy later in Paul's life, or maybe by a student of Paul who is writing to Timothy on his behalf and kind of continuing that same message to Timothy. And so there's this verse that we have in 1 Timothy that often gets overquoted to students that says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. You know, that verse has gotten quoted to me as a young person and in youth spaces that I've worked in for a long, long time, but I wonder if sometimes it's getting told to the wrong group. I wonder if instead of young people needing to hear over and over again that they shouldn't be looked over because of their youth, I wonder if this verse is actually for the rest of us. I wonder if the rest of us need that reminder that young people are capable, that they're gifted, that they are ready for more, that they can be on this mission with us, this mission for God. I wonder if instead of only saying this to young people over and over again, that maybe the rest of us need that reminder too. Sometimes the people that need to hear that their young person is ready for more is the parent of that young person. This launch phase in a parent's life, in their relationship with their kid, can be a tricky one. Parenting isn't over just because your kid graduated high school or turned 18, but it is changing. Young people don't stop needing their parents, but they do need them differently. And this can be a really tricky time in a relationship between a parent knowing how to parent and a young adult knowing how to become a young adult. Emerging adults, these 18 plus year old kids, they're being launched into a world that is so different than the world their parents experienced. And that was actually true before the pandemic. We've talked about this research project, the PHASE project, other times. It was this massive research project that helped create resources, really great resources for parents and for faith leaders, to help them have influence over kids and teenagers at every phase. And recently they came out with a new book, an 18 plus parenting book. We've got these PHASE book resources. I have them back sitting outside in our lounge on Sunday morning, so you can always stop by and check out some of those resources. And they're from birth to 18, and then they came out with this 18 plus, this 18 plus parenting your emerging adult book, and written by some great people, directors of the Fuller Youth Institute out at Fuller Seminary. And I have a copy, and you can let me know, you can come borrow it. So it's true that parenting is about to change as your student heads off to college. Parenting is about to change if your student has just graduated college and is about to move back in with you. It's true, but the good news is that even though your young adult needs you differently, what kids and emerging adults need, like really need to be who God created them to be, the good news is that doesn't change. The PHASE project helps introduce these six things that every kid or teenager needs over time: worth, direction, perspective, significance, connection, belonging. Every young person needs help with arriving at any one of these things. And PHASE helps us see how we can get there. That love over time helps establish worth. That words over time help give us direction. That stories over time give us perspective. That work over time helps us have significance. Fun over time helps us have connection, and tribes over time give us belonging. We don't arrive at all six of these things easily in just one day. All of these things happen over time throughout the course of a kid's life, their life with you in their home, and their life as they are growing up. You know, another thing that phase helps us really understand is what we mean when we're talking about time. When we're talking about love over time or stories over time, what we're talking about. And what we're talking about when we're talking about time is 936 weeks. 936 weeks, that is how many weeks you have with your kid from the day they are born to the day they turn 18 and are getting ready to leave and launch out of your house. You have 936 weeks. Now, if you have a new baby at home, that might feel like a really long time. But as you sitting out there who have young adults, you know it goes by so fast. The good news is for you parents out there that you are not alone in this. This is where we come in. This is where the church comes in. Now, we have even less time than you. We average about 40 weeks a year with your kids on Sunday mornings to help influence these things in their life. Love so they can have worth and work so they can have significance. But what we might not have in direct face-to-face time with your kids as much as you do, we do have entrusted adults. We have trusted adults who help you love your kid over time so that they know their worth. We have trusted adults who speak words of encouragement and words of scripture so that your kid over time has direction when they feel lost. We have trusted adults who tell stories, who make faith and life personal, so that young people can grow up with perspective when life gets hard and someone to talk to when it does. We have trusted adults. We have opportunities to give them work, to give them jobs, to show them that they are significant already, that they are already making a difference. We have fun with them. We have so much fun with them so that they would be connected to each other and to us. And we give them a tribe. We give you a tribe, a family beyond the family where your kid can always be accepted and belong for exactly who they are. Parents of the class of 2022, you are not alone and have not been alone for these entire 936 weeks with your kids as they are getting to this phase. And we hope that some days you have really felt that to be true. And seniors, class of 2022, you are more ready than you even know for what's next for you. But what's next will not always be easy. And so when life gets hard, when you feel lost, we hope you will always believe that you have a home here. Each of you is already on a mission from God. Each of you have already said yes in your own way. You have even said yes here at PRPC. When you have volunteered in the nursery, when you have taught Sunday school or led small group or volunteered at Sunday night suppers, you have said yes to bringing more of God's love and more of God's grace into the world. And when you have done that, you have been an example. You've been an example for the younger kids that are watching you, and you have been an example for the rest of us. You know, that verse from Timothy is true. You should not be looked over because of your youth. You can be an example. You all are already examples of how to live this life of faith and bring more of God's love into the world. You're already bringing more of God's love and grace into the world. You are already saying yes. And our prayer is that you never stop.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.